Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners, to another installment of the podcast Listening In. I'm your host, Pastoral Associate Julia Monnet, and I have with me today our seminarian visiting us from the Archdiocese, yes, David Morand. Welcome, mm-hmm. David.
Thank you.
So David is with us just for the first part of the summer, and I thought it might be cool to sit down with you to just let people know a little bit more about yourself and about your journey and a little bit possibly too about your call and your discernment right now, discerning the priesthood. So before you kind of get into that, just tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from and a little bit about your family life?
Sure. Originally, I'm from Sydney, mm-hmm. Ohio.
Not too far from here.
Not too far, yep. Just down the road. I have one older brother, Joe, and an older sister. So, yeah, the baby, the mm-hmm. family, of course. Mm-hmm. My parents are still in Sydney. Grew up there, lived there most of my life until I headed off for college, where I went to Ball State in Muncie, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I've lived in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 years, mm-hmm. right before I decided to enter seminary.
Okay. So you have a degree from Ball State?
I do.
Okay, what's your degree in?
It's in music technology.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. So you graduated from Ball State,
mm-hmm.
you got your degree, moved down to Nashville?
I did.
For a couple years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did some cool work down there?
Well.
The country capital of the world?
Yeah. Cool work could be debatable.
Okay.
maybe interesting would be a little bit more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, I went down there for an internship at a studio,
mm-hmm.
And I was there for about 8 months. Originally, it was, just do stuff around the studio, clean, assist with some of the sessions. Eventually, it turned into a little bit more of the work side,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it didn't end up going anywhere, so I ended up leaving that, but at the same time that was going on, in order to pay for bills and stuff,
because mm-hmm.
most audio internships aren't paid,
mm-hmm.
I was doing valet parking.
Nice.
Cars down there.
Nice.
Where occasionally you'd run into a couple country stars, mm-hmm. so that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Nashville was kind of the impetus to get me towards the seminary.
Okay.
Actually. So when I moved down there, looking back, you can just automatically see God's hand at work. I had my internship and I had my job
mm-hmm.
before I moved down there, but I didn't have a house
mm-hmm.
or any place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first few days, I was staying in hostels and at friends of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend from before high school, actually, had a cousin down there,
mm-hmm.
and this cousin got me in contact with a guy named Jimmy Mitchell, who is actually a Catholic speaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's the owner of Love Good Music Productions
okay.
down there.
Okay.
And he had a couple houses back in 2014 where it was just young Christian guys could come
mm-hmm.
and live and stay,
mm-hmm.
who were transitioning in
mm-hmm.
or had been staying for a while, and he had one open spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, so happened
mm-hmm.
that this friend, who I hadn't talked to for a little bit, sent me this information and
Providence at work.
Got me right in there. Yeah, it was incredible.
So that kind of lit, being in that environment, kind of lit a fire in you, or what kind of?
Well, it was the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the start of it, because from there, I got pretty tapped into the Catholic circle down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I didn't know anybody yet, and I was at either my first or my second Mass at Christ the King Parish,
mm-hmm.
and my friend Mary Agnes,
mm-hmm.
came up to me. This was the night that I met her. She's like, I don't know you. Our group is going to go out to eat, and you're going to come. So I was like, okay, here we go. So yeah, from then on, I started meeting people in the parish, and before then, I hadn't really been very active in the faith at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was a little bit more of the typical cradle Catholic, brought up
had wonderful parents mm-hmm. who were deeply involved
mm-hmm.
in the church and have a very deep faith life. But as soon as I went off to college, it kind of just
yep.
dropped off.
Yep.
But I saw the people down there, and they were just incredibly serious about it, which was one of the first times I'd seen people my age,
mm-hmm.
and so many of them in one spot, mm-hmm. being really serious about it. And they were all really happy and really joyful, mm-hmm. and I'm like, that looks incredible. So, I joined some Bible study, started hanging out more with those people. I started going to daily mass, was going to adoration more. Mm-hmm. And so that was leading up to a retreat that I took in Gethsemane
mm-hmm.
down in Travis, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right before my brother's wedding. I was in adoration there, and that's when I started thinking about it, just like all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was like, I should probably call Father Dan
mm-hmm.
to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple weeks later, he had sent me the application.
So it was just kind of a, was it like a nudging on your heart, you would say? Or what did that voice of God sound like to you? Or just like a random thought that just didn't go away? Or
I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. It was definitely both a nudge, and it was also a random thought. But mm-hmm. even when I was growing up, I had the comings and goings of, well, you know, priesthood would be an interesting idea. But I never actually took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, you got the typical priests coming up to you and saying, oh, you'd be a good priest one day,
mm-hmm.
which is great, you mm-hmm. know, because that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, that was doing its job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was at that moment, I think,
mm-hmm.
that it was the thought and the nudge that mm-hmm. really got me thinking about it seriously.
So that was when? When did you actually start the enter into the seminary?
That was October of 2015.
Okay.
So I think by November, I had submitted my application,
mm-hmm.
and in May is when I heard back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was honestly, I think, a pretty quick turnaround.
Right. Yeah, right. So you've been in the seminary now for
just a year.
A year.
Yeah, just finished up.
And how, if this is the Lord's call for you to continue through yeah. and to be a priest, then how many more years would you have?
It'd be six more.
Six more. Oh, yeah. That's it? You only have to go seven.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Teasing. That was always my sarcasm. we want to really make sure you guys really know what you're getting into. So that's good. That's good.
It is a very
serious call, and you want to make sure you're prepared and ready. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this is just a very new part of your journey, but one that certainly has had the Lord's hand in it, yeah.
Yes.
A future that you didn't maybe expect for yourself.
Not at all.
Especially maybe perhaps in those college years when you mentioned that you were perhaps disengaged, you know, attending your church and going to Mass, but just not really, you know, not really engaged like the people you had met in Nashville were.
Exactly.
You know, not really owning yeah. it. It wasn't really a part of your life. It was just something you did instead of it being the focus of.
I'd say that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. Well, probably because I can relate so much. and that's certainly been my experience, too. I, you know, cradle Catholic myself, and my parents did their best to raise all of us and to get us a firm foundation in the faith. And then, you know, you just grow, and you kind of fall away from things. And I know for me, when I was in college, I always attended Mass. That was never an issue for me to attend Mass. But I never got it. And it wasn't until I was in my mid-20s and just had a, I was just in a dark place of sin, just wrapped up in a bunch of sin that I couldn't get out of, where I just fell at the Lord's mercy and accepted His forgiveness. And then my heart was converted, right? Because here's this man that saved me and saved me from the death of my sin. So I got that pretty quickly, His sacrifice that He made and the importance. And then my heart was on fire and has been on fire ever since, right? So I'm very much a Mary Magdalene. So someone who is very far, but then, you know, once you put your sins into his hands and recognize that he died for them, and here's this man that literally saved you, like, your life changes. It should anyway.
Wow.
And mine
yeah.
did, so. But I think we can, you know, we're similar in that, you know, that we were born in the faith and raised in the faith and come from great families, but nothing clicked really until, you know, you're a little bit older, maybe.
I think so, yeah.
Wow, okay, that's awesome. So let me ask you this then. Moving forward, what are some of the things you're most excited about with this right now, this discernment process?
Yeah. Well, just the growth
mm-hmm.
that I've already seen started to happen,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, yeah, it's only been a year.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to realize that you really just have to face down your fears and your issues, and, you know, obviously that's not the only thing that's going on at seminary, but it is a place that really brings them to light, and that allows for some serious growth.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly. So there's that, because there's a person that I want to be, which I know I'm not at yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not that person yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's got growing to do. But, so yeah, that's one of the biggest things that I'm excited for. And I think the development of a healthy prayer life
mm-hmm.
is another one. I got a little taste of that when I was starting down in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you're immersed in it all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting, because you have to find the balance of the community prayer life and also making the time for your own prayer life.
Sure.
And it's a challenge, but it's also really good, because it's something that you know you want a
mm-hmm.
lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're willing to sacrifice the time for it while you're there, because
mm-hmm.
There's really not a lot,
mm-hmm.
but a free time
mm-hmm.
for compartmentalizing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that you're willing to make that commitment, then
mm-hmm.
I think that bears a whole lot more weight with it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing I hear from people is perhaps the most challenging for them is that, you know, as a lay person in the world, as a married person, as someone, a parent, you know, with children, if you're not already rooted in the habits of, you know, Mass and reconciliation and don't already have a deep prayer life, it's so hard to get one, because life
yeah.
and something is always pulling at you.
There's
yeah. always duties, there's always responsibilities, and it takes so much discipline to be able to say, you know, even if it's only 10 minutes, I'm taking this 10 minutes today. And, you know, when I was first being converted to the Lord, that was certainly my experience. And I'm a wife, but we don't have children. Well, I have one on the way. But at the time of my conversion, I didn't have any. So I didn't even have children tugging at me. But it was just the demands of being a wife and having a job. And I found it so challenging
yeah.
to get rooted in that prayer life. So the wow. seminary allows you to do that, which is very wise. Yes, because that certainly will be the foundation of your vocation. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah. I definitely do think, though, that there is similar struggle with that as well, where
mm-hmm.
you have to make it a priority to be, okay, this time is going to be my prayer time, separate from the community liturgy, the hours, to just, you know, have your one-on-one time.
Is that the most challenging part for you, your private prayer, or is it the community prayer?
For me, finding time for the private prayer has been very difficult, because there's always something going on. You're
mm-hmm.
constantly studying. Yeah, it's been tricky.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's reassuring to get to know people who are called to the religious life or people who are already, you know, ordained, to know how normal we all are and how similar we all are. Isn't it true? I mean, it's reassuring to me, because when I was young and you see a priest or you see a sister or you read about the saints and you think,
yeah.
unattainable. That type of holiness, that type of devoutness in life, not for me. There's no way I could ever do that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But then when you really get to know people, even if you dive into scripture and you really get to read about the apostles and the disciples, you realize we're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these
mm-hmm.
men and women walked with Christ, and they doubted, and they had fears, and they struggled, you know, with simple things. So, of course, we're going to be in that same page, right? But I think that's a temptation of the evil one to make us think that holiness is unattainable.
Yeah.
It's only for the specially chosen, and we can't do that. So,
yeah. That's definitely a good point. Mm-hmm. A couple of days ago, that kind of crossed my mind, too. You know, it's just one of those things where you realize, everybody is called to that level of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, takes time to attain that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's there. And that's kind of the beauty of it, because it allows you to continue rejuvenating yourself
mm-hmm.
and striving for something more. I think it's like when you finish one of your favorite series,
mm-hmm.
you know, the feeling,
mm-hmm.
You know, Harry Potter, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you finish it, and then there's that sense of, like, not really completed, but it's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you know, prayer life is just this continuous journey,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't end, mm-hmm. which is great.
Mm.
That's beautiful. And that's certainly what happens, isn't it? We go through this progressive growth. At least that's the idea, right? And
yeah.
we can never know it all. We can never learn it all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
the Lord, no matter how close we grow to Him or how deeply devoted we come to Him, He's always drawing us closer, right? So mm-hmm. it is. It's this never-ending journey of love, you know? At least that's been my experience of it. And just when I think, oh, man, I'm really figuring this out, then all of a sudden He shows me something.
Yeah.
I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah.
Don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's beautiful. So let's end there, because we're already out of time. It goes by really fast. But we'll kind of sit with that this month and these next couple of days and think about the ways that perhaps we are challenged and tempted to, or maybe the ways we maybe lack the discipline we need to sit down and actually develop a deep prayer life, or the ways we're being tempted to think that, that holiness stuff, that sounds great, but not for me. And to think about this journey with the Lord and with our lives of prayer as a journey, there's not an end to it. You dive in and you just enjoy the journey with Him. So we'll sit with that in the weeks to come. Before I officially close, I will let the listeners of this podcast know that most of you have probably seen in the bulletins that I am resigning from my position here as pastoral associate. My last day is June 16th, so here in a couple weeks. I'm resigning because, as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, I am with child now, and I just know that it's going to require more time of me. At least I imagine it's going to require more time of me than I can commit to. So I'm stepping back just to spend time more with my family. But I plan to continue recording these podcasts and making them available on my own website, which is not yet live, but which will be live soon. So stay in touch with me if you really enjoy the podcast and you want to keep listening to them, because when I am able to record them and put them on my own website, I'll be sure to let you know. My website is simply my name, juliamonin.com, juliamonin.com. Again, it's not yet live, but it should be live within the next couple months. So you will be able to find the podcast, and if you enjoy the weekly reflections I write in the bulletin, you'll be able to find those there as well. So that is it. I thank you for joining us. I thank you for all your love and support as I've been in this role. I thank David for joining us today
you.
And welcome you to our parishes, and know that we'll all be praying for you as you continue this process of discernment.
Thank you.
So I'm going to ask David now to close us in prayer as we end another month.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the gifts and the talents that you have given to all of us. Please send down your Holy Spirit upon us all. Allow us to realize that we are all called to sainthood. Allow us to realize that though it is lofty, though it is high, you give us the strength. You give us the strength to be there. You give us the strength to get there. Allow us to love you in this way. Allow us to love you in the ministries that you give us. Allow us to love you by loving each other. We thank you for the ministry of Julia, and we ask you to bless her and her family as they embark upon the next step of their own journey. bless the families of the Petersburg community. We commend them all to your Holy Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.